verses 11. And let me read it for you again. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it sprout, and bring forth and giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. I don't know if you watch or if you have Prime Video. It's an app. These days people watch TV completely different. And one of those apps or one of those ways is to watch Prime Video. And there's a program about Jeremy Clarkson, who's normally on Top Gear and on motoring things. But he has a big farm in the Cotswolds. And in 2019, he decided that instead of hiring a farmer to farm for him, he will do the farming all by himself. And he had to learn things from scratch, buying equipment and learning from scratch. And in one of the fields, he planted rapeseed, but the beetles came and devoured the whole field so that it was all just eaten up. And he thought, well, he's not going to just leave this, he's going to try again. And he decided to plant pumpkins. So he put pumpkin seed into the ground. This is May 2019. May 2020, would you have it that it was the hottest recorded springtime in the UK, May 2020? So for 7 weeks it did not rain. And his ground was completely, completely dry. Nothing was coming up. And so his friend who's advising him said to him, what are you going to do? And he said, well, I'm going to get a tank, a massive tank. It holds 400,000 liters of water. I'm going to go to a spring, fill the tank. I'm going to drive back and water this farm. It took him 5 hours to get the water from the spring into the tank, and then to drive the tractor all the way to his field. When he got to his field, he had, you know, you have to go up and then turn and then come down, up and then turn and then come down. He went up, turned, came down halfway, and all the water ran out. That was it. And the guy looked at him and said, well, that was rubbish. All of that water has just evaporated. So 5 hours of hard labor, and the man said to him, that was not effective at all. Sometimes, when it comes to the Word of God, we may look at it like that and we think, it's not really effective, isn't it? Is the Word of God really effective? And Isaiah 55 is really preoccupied with the Word of God. If you read Isaiah 55, as we have done, you begin to see that at the beginning, the reader is already encouraged to hear the Word of God. And then the reader is encouraged to trust the Word of God. There's a preoccupation with the Word of God. And then we come to verse 11, which is the highlight that says, so shall my words be that goes out from my mouth. There is this thing about the Word of God. But unlike Jeremy Clarkson's ineffective plan to water his ground, the Isaiah is saying God's word is effective all the time. That's a great challenge for us. And you will see why that is a great challenge for us. But it's a great challenge for us to trust what God is saying here, that his word is effective all the time. It does what God wants it to do. That's the Word of God. It does what God wants it to do. You read the Psalms and you read it, and it says exactly that. The Word of the Lord stands. The Word of the Lord will be. God will fulfill His Word. God's Word is effective all the time. It's a living Word, and it's an active Word, as the book of Hebrews tells us. And so we're not just speaking about this written Word. We're not just speaking about the spoken word. We're speaking about the very form, the very act of the Word of God, because it's a doing thing as well. So God's word is effective. And I want to do speak about that, the effective word of God under three heads. First one is the purpose of the word of God. Have you noticed in verse 11, it says, My word be that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. It shall accomplish that which I purpose. The purpose of the word of God. Now, what is the purpose of the word of God? Well, you have to go to the illustration in verse 10 to see what the purpose of the word of God is. God is speaking about his word, and before he speaks about his word, he gives us an illustration about the effectiveness of the word of God in its purpose. What does he say in verse 10? In verse 10. In verse 10, the Lord says, the rain and the snow comes down from where? From heaven. Right? Don't miss that. I always say to the people at our church, everything in the Bible is there for a purpose. Don't miss things. The rain comes down from heaven. In other words, that rain is, the origins is heaven. It doesn't stay in heaven though. Where does it come to? To earth. The rain comes down from heaven. Waters the earth. It comes to earth. And it does several things. It makes it bring forth. It sprouts, gives seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. All of this is because of the rain. The rain comes from heaven, it comes to earth. The rain waters the ground, it cultivates the earth, it allows seed to grow. When the seed has grown, it is allowed a produce to come up, and when the produce come up, you can get the fruit from the produce, and you can eat it. You see the end result? We eat the bread. All of this is because the rain didn't stay up in heaven, it came down to earth. That is what verse 10 is about. It gives nourishment for the seed to grow. And you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, we speak about, Paul says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. In other words, God is the one who provides the seed for the sower. God is the one who provides bread for food. All of this because God has sent rain down to come on earth from heaven. This rain that comes, the end result is that we have bread to eat. We have bread to eat. So the rain has a purpose. And in the north, it just rains all the time, and I get sick of it. I have to be honest. In the north, it just... My son, I'm South African. I'm particularly from Cape Town. I'm from Cape Town, so we have beautiful weather. We have seasons, and we know exactly what's going to happen in the seasons. And summers are beautiful summers. And so I'm used to hot, hot weather. And the first 2 years when I came here, I couldn't handle it, and I wanted to go home. I've been here 20 years, it's a bit too long. And it just rains all the time. And my son is 14 years old and he says, it just always rains. It just always rains. So maybe we don't appreciate the rain as much as the people in the Cotswolds who needs the rain for the farmers to have food. But the rain has a purpose. The rain is never wasted. Even the rain that falls in Lancaster is never wasted. It has a purpose. And the purpose is particularly spelled that the end result is it gets food for us. Now, what does the food represent? The food represents life. In other words, rain that comes down gives life. That's the purpose of the rain. It provides what we need, the seed and the food and all of that, so that we have life. It provides life. Now, that's the illustration. God says, the rain that comes down have a purpose. It's not wasted. Then he says, so shall my word be. So he's used the rain as an illustration and now speaks about not the rain anymore, but his word. And he says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose. The word of God shall accomplish that which I purpose. It's an interesting thing that it says, isn't it? It says, it shall not return to me. God's word returns to him, but not empty. You know what that means? A gift. God sends his word, it does its work, and then the word returns, and it always returns with a gift. It's marvelous. It's absolutely marvelous. It doesn't come back to God empty. It doesn't come back to God in vain. It doesn't come back to God without giving something to him. And so learn that God's word has a purpose, and it will accomplish that for which he sends it. I want you to notice that very carefully. It says, it shall accomplish that I purpose. The rain accomplishes what God has it to do. And it's the same with the word of God. It will accomplish God's purpose. This is where we have to have trust. This is where we are called to trust God. This is where we are called to have faith in the word of God and in God himself, because it will accomplish what God has purposed for it. Not necessarily what we wanted to do or how quick we wanted to work, but it will accomplish what God has designed it to accomplish. So what is the purpose then of the word of God? We're not told, are we? We're not told what the purpose of the word of God is. It simply says it will accomplish that for which I purpose. So how do we know what the purpose of the word of God is then? How are we to understand what the purpose of the word of God is? Well, we learn this from the rain. And this is why I said, notice what it says. Rain comes from heaven. Doesn't stay in the heaven. It comes to earth because earth needs it. In other words, rain is a gift sent from God to earth to supply earth's needs, right? That is what rain is for. It is coming from God to supply earth's needs. Jeremy Clarkson's dry ground received rain after 8 weeks. After 8 weeks of dry ground, no rains, on him trying ineffective methods, all sorts of stupid things. Even one of his friends said, you come up with all these stupid ideas and they never work. Eventually the rain came. Mercy. And that's exactly the purpose of rain. It's a mercy. The purpose of God. This is what Isaiah wants us to see. When God sends his word from heaven, earth, because God is in heaven and here we are on earth, we are, as if you read Isaiah 55, we are separate. God is calling us in verses 5 and 6 to return to him and to abandon wicked ways and to come to him. How is it that we, who are on earth, who are wicked, who need to turn our lives around by the repentance, how are we going to do that? We can't go to heaven. So here's the mercy of God. He sends his word to come to us. That is a mercy of God. God doesn't keep his word in heaven, the word down to us. And now we can draw near to God. Acts in the very fact that his word has come down from heaven is God's mercy being extended to us. It is indeed, as Jeremy Clarkson says, a mercy. That is the purpose of the word of God. The purpose of the word of God as it comes down from heaven to earth is to offer to us, sinful people, the mercy of God so that we can have, verse 6 and verse 7, pardon for our sins. Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. It doesn't stay in heaven. It comes to earth to people who need it. And by coming down, God extends his mercy to us, so that we can have a pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. That's the purpose of the word of God. So that God's mercy may be extended and people may receive it just like the earth receives the water, the rain. We may receive it, and when we receive it, we receive a pardon for sin. That's the purpose of the word of God. The great mercy of God made available for us, and pardon of sins being made available for us. But let me go to the power of the word of God. the power of the word of God. That was the purpose of the word of God. But let's go to the power of the word. See, that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. God's word shall succeed in the thing for which sends it. That's the power of the word of God. God's word never, ever, ever fails. Ever. Please get that. Don't miss it. It shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. In John 5:17, we read that God is always at work. Always, always busy. Until now, and I am working. God is always at work. And is always at work through His word that He has sent from heaven to us. It comes out of His mouth, the scripture says. And so he gives it to us, and it's always at work. And He is working in His word. He is working, why? For His glory. For the glory of God, so that the glory of God may be on display. When Moses was sent to Pharaoh so that he can lead the people out of Egypt, do you know what God says to him in Exodus 9, verse 6? So that you may know my name. That the glory of God may be displayed. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. That is why God's word will always, always succeed. Because God will be glorified as He is active in dispensing His word. He will fulfill it. Now, what is the ultimate purpose then of this word of God that comes to us? What is the purpose of His mercy be extended to us? Well, He has said it in verse 3, isn't it? Come to me that your souls may live. The purpose then. And the success then is that sinners will be saved. Sinners will be saved. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. God's will, word will succeed in this, that sinners will be saved. That He will bring about repentance and faith. That He will bring about people to be saved. And that He will forgive people sin from their sins. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3 says, this is good and in the sight of our God and Savior, who desires all people to be and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God's word has a purpose. To its mission in that is that people may be saved. And God's word will not fail. It is very clear. This is the promise that God gives. It shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. So you may be sitting here, as people say, born again, Christian believer. Do you know how that came about? God's mercy was extended to you. Sins were forgiven. You were saved. The word of God succeeded in the thing for which God has sent it. Didn't fail. Doesn't fail. Remember what the first part said, it shall accomplish that which I purpose, the purpose of God. And it will accomplish His work. So the word of God will bring people to repentance and to faith so that their sins may be forgiven. It will not return to God without success. That's what it says. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish its purpose. It shall succeed. It will not fail. This is where we have to believe this. This is where we have to trust the word of God. Because if you don't believe this, can I say to you, Ashton Baptist Church, you will struggle. You will struggle. You will get despondent. You will begin to think of new ways and new techniques and new methods and new things to come up with to replace the simple and simplicity of the preaching and the giving out of the word of God. You will think you've got to do something else. If you dare. I will accomplish my purpose. It shall succeed in the thing that I give it. I've been at Lancaster for 11 years. Lancaster has about four closed the toddlers, but before that they've had a toddler group for about 20 years. 20 years. They've had a toddler group. People came to the Lord through the toddler group? That we know of? Zero. We've had a teens club for many, many years. Many, many years. Do you know how many people came to the teens, to the Lord through the teens club that we've had? That we know of? Zero. We've had a children's Friday club for many, many years. We're starting up again after lockdown in September. And there were at one stage when we had a massive Friday club, up to 30 children, primary school children, coming every Friday. Do you know how many came to the Lord that we know of? Naught. Naught. Now we can go back and we say maybe we need to relook at this and we need to try some innovative ways of presenting the gospel, or we may need to think of some ways of doing this. But you know, every week when they come, they have a memory verse, and every week when they come, the word of God is preached. Two children and two teenagers in simplicity. Now we can say, well, it's not working. Try something else and let's forget about the word. Or we can say, it shall succeed in the thing for which God sends it. That's our belief. That's what we trust. If you know anything about Burma, modern-day Myanmar, you will know that Ajanaira Judson and his wife Anne went to Burma and were the first missionaries to Burma. I'm going to call it Burma because in the days that they went, it was called Burma. They were the first missionaries in Burma. They labored for many, many years. And when Burma was invaded and Adoniram was put in prison, they haven't seen a single convert. They were there 7 years. They didn't see a single convert. They didn't see converts until 14 years of being in. But you speak today to any Christian that comes from that land, they will tell you, we thank God for Adoniram Judson. But all those years. And when he saw no fruit, he continued to labor with the word of God. And one day when you're in heaven, speak to William Carey, who went to India. Labored in India for many, many years. And they had the same experience as Adoniram Judson. For decades, no converts. Do they then start else and say, the word of God is not effective, it's not working, it's not succeeding, let's try something different? They continue with the preaching of the word of God. Because this scripture says it will accomplish the purpose for which God sent it. It shall succeed in the thing for which God sent it. And when you and I do not believe this anymore, we will be discouraged. And we will come up with all sorts of things. Because we think God is not doing his work. One thing that I've learned in ministry is God works much slower than what I would like him to do. Much, much lower. And you know how the rain illustrates this? The rain illustration verse 10 actually illustrates this. It's a slow process from the beginning of farming to actually reaping the fruit and the harvest of it. It's a slow process. And God works much, much slower than we would want him to work. That doesn't mean he's not at work. He's always at work. It will always accomplish his purpose, and his word will always succeed. It never, ever fails. I don't know if you know the brother that went to Cyprus. Andrew was his name. He went to Cyprus, and he planted the church in Cyprus. He was from our church way before I came. I can't even think of his last name now. It will get to me. He went to Cyprus, and many, many years he worked in Cyprus and labored in Cyprus and saw no encouragement whatsoever. Retired. His son, within the first year, 150 new people were at church. 150. Now you could go and you could say, well, the father was from the son was really good. Or you could look and see just how God worked all of those years. And even though the father never saw it in his lifetime and during his ministry, the son benefits. And doesn't Paul say this like that? Paul says some of us water, some of us plant, some of us water, and others get the benefit of that. But that's how the work of that's how it works. I want you to be encouraged by this. God's word never fails. So we have had toddler groups, Friday clubs, teen clubs. Twice a month we have open air. Every week we go out with tracts and we give leaflets to people. We have not seen a single soul come to the Lord through those ministries. But you know what? The Lord has added to our numbers. And I asked somebody this once. I said, why don't we see encouragement? He said, Jeff, if you see encouragement from the work you do, your head will grow big. So God gives you encouragement from the work that He does because of the work that you do. So don't ever stop what you're doing. Do you see? We can't stop giving the word to people who need it. That's the key. We must continue to give the word to people who need it. And we must leave the results to God. He will accomplish His purpose. He will cause it to succeed in the thing for which He sent it. Somebody said to us, because we give out tracts, it's a big church in Lancaster, one of the biggest churches, big student population. And one of the students met me on the streets one day when I was giving out tracts. And he said, do you people still do this? And I said, yeah. He said, but this doesn't work anymore. How do you know? How do you know it doesn't work? You see, you can never, ever, ever know what a casual conversation about the Word of God with somebody will do to that person. How God uses that Word to open up somebody's heart, to plant a seed and to water that cause it to grow. You cannot know that. You may never know that. But you cannot know that a casual word with somebody about the Word of God. No. God says His word will succeed. He who gave two tracts, this is an American thing, two tracts she gave to two actors. She just gave two tracts to two actors. One of them, through that tract, became a believer. Years later, became a pastor. He gave a tract to a friend of his, who then became a believer, and became a pastor. Two churches started, formed by one lady who gave out two tracts. How can we say that the word of God is not effective? See, this is exactly what Isaiah wants us to know. God's word is effective in its purpose and in its power. It has the power to save, and it will succeed in that. It will save sinners and bring them to repentance. James 1 verse 21 says, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. God's word is able to save your soul. It will succeed in its mission. It will not return to God empty. It will return to God with gifts of the souls of men. That's what Isaiah is telling us about the power of the word. But I want to speak to you just finally about the person of the word of God. We can't read Isaiah and not think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we speak about the person of the word of God. And this becomes very clear in the very opening words of the book of John. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. And then if you go on further and you speak and you read about what John speaks about, you see that in John chapter 3 particularly, it is made very clear that this word that became man, he came from heaven to do what? He came from heaven and to dwell on earth. To do what? To do the work he needed to do. This is why Jesus said, I've come to do the will of my Father. It is my food to do the will of the Father, my bread to do the will of the Father. Why did he come? He came to provide humanity's deepest need, just like the rain provides for our needs. What did he bring with him? The Bible says that he's with him grace and truth. That's what he brings, grace and truth. To what end? To what purpose? What's the mission? So that you would say, I have come to give my life for many. This Jesus came from heaven, earth, and was sent to earth with a very specific purpose and with a very specific mission. And when he was put on the cross, those people standing there probably thought whatever he came to do, it failed. But did it fail? No. It succeeded in the thing for which it was sent. And so, John chapter 3, the most well-known verse probably in the Bible that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But don't stop there, because then you miss the purpose. For it goes on, for God did not send his Son, you see? God sent his Son, just like he sends rain and sent his word, God sent his Son. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order, here's the mission, here's the purpose, that the world might be saved through him. Did he fail? Well, I wouldn't be preaching, you wouldn't be sitting here if he failed. He succeeded in the thing for which he was sent. This is the person of the Word of God who came from heaven. And speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus is told that unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And speaking about this, Jesus actually says in verse 31, he who comes from above, he comes from heaven above, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven, again, there's the focus, coming from heaven, is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. That is the glorious person of the Word of God. We sing that famous hymn, and I will quote it in a minute, isn't it? From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride, isn't it? From heaven he came and sought us to be his holy bride. And he succeeded in the thing for which he was sent. Jesus will one day return, and he has already returned to heaven. And what does it say in John, 1 John? He will bring many sons to glory. He succeeds in the thing for which he was sent of the Word of God. That famous hymn says that church's one foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From him came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. May I encourage you, church, I know that you've gone through the difficult times and tough times. I know you have to pray for the Lord to send in laborers into the harvest field. But may I encourage you, how small you are, you have the responsibility and you have this privilege to bring the word to a needy world where you are. And you must trust that God will accomplish his purpose, and the thing for which it sends, he sends it, God will succeed in that. You are not to determine who gets saved, but it is your privilege to work with the Lord and to spreading the gospel to as many people as you possibly can, and to say, Lord, water the seed, cause it to grow, and bring life to those who will hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I encourage you to do that, not to grow faint-hearted or be discouraged, to allow God to do his work through the effects of his word. We're going to come and sing our final